We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the New Nasty Boys. I'm your co-host this morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you decide to watch or listen to this thing, Billy DeVore, and sitting next to me is my co-host,
Chris Weir. What's up, Nasty Nation? Welcome back to the Fart Dungeon. Good to have you here.
Smells worn in.
Yeah, it is. Mm-mm. We're breaking it in every day. Like an old catcher's mitt, just slowly getting more palatable.
Next thing you know, we're just over there oiling the walls.
Like it's an old cabinet. Yeah. Gotta put some lacquer on this.
Lacquer. Billy, why are you taping rubber bands to it? It's like a catcher's mitt.
Oh, buddy.
Doubt it. Oh, shit. We're coming. We're doing this later than normal. The Reds game is about to start. It's 9:37 our time on Monday. Mm-hmm. Reds game's about to start in San Diego. They're taking on the Fathers. And this is a big series because it leads right into the beginning of May, which is the hell month for our Red Legs. And we're horrified. So
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it's going to be a rough one, but it's going to be a test of their talent.
See? Look at that optimism.
There we go.
How about that? You get that on so few podcasts these days, you know?
Yeah, this is coming from the guy that picked the Reds to win the World Series.
That's right.
And Hunter Green to get the Cy Young. Of course he's going to be optimistic.
He's got to be full bore ahead, baby. So good. So, how was your week?
It was good. Had some comedy shows. Comet on Saturday. That was fun. Our buddy Sam Evans was in town. That was awesome to see him. And then I was also at Commonwealth Sanctuary, which is a freaking dope club. That's awesome. Dayton, Kentucky. They're doing it right. So glad to see things working out well for them. It was really fun.
I love that place. And they book pretty good headliners. I'm telling you, there's one coming up that's, real good. He's really good. Hey, you know what? A little overrated, but overall solid. You know, gets on base, lots of doubles, brings people in.
Real solid. That's I feel some foreshadowing there.
Yeah. He's got like a 107 WRC or one OPS plus. So look, I've been looking at spreadsheets and numbers for what has now been too long to get ready for this, and I am beyond excited to just dig in and move forward and just start the month of May with a hot start.
I'm right there with you, buddy.
So, it sounds like you had good shows, though. That's
yeah, awesome. They were good. It was really fun. The crowds were great. Thanks to everyone that came out to the Commonwealth and the Comet. Man, they just each have cultivated a really good audience there. And it's fun because it rotates out like a lot of people. You don't see like the same folks there all the time.
They're really good about it.
Yeah, it was good. And also, the Comet has some bomb-ass food.
Dude, those quesadillas, we were just talking about it. And whatever their meat of the month is, even if you're like, I'm not a tofu person, just get it. It's so good.
Yeah, give it a shot. Even like whatever their dip is of the month. They'll have like certain sauces.
Yeah.
The Chipotle lime, pretty banging.
Ooh, when you said dips of the month, I was like, they got a wintergreen, they got a citrus.
They got a skull deal for you.
They give you a 2-ounce ramekin of pouches.
Dig it.
That's so good.
Bit controversial.
But you know what? They get away with it. The health inspector turns a blind eye.
Yeah, kids dip free.
Kids dip free on Tuesday.
Was it like Texas Roadhouse when they had peanut shells on the ground? It's just this dip people are spitting on. Spittoons everywhere.
Yeah, I expect it to be a Longhorn thing, you know?
Oh, why are my shoes soggy?
Oh, God. Yeah, okay. It's the Copenhagen.
There we are.
They have like they just have a kids area where it's air hockey tables with just empty tins.
That's all the cup holders is his tin cup holders. Spittoon.
Dude, I got an ad today on my TikTok. Heard of it? It's about to be banned. So, for metal Zin cans. They're like, the reason you need a metal Zin can. I'm like, I already have a can that it comes in. Why do we need to upgrade to have something that's going to go off at the airport?
Is it going to be something where it's like you take your regular can and then you put it in this metal tin? Is that what it is? Like an accessory for your Zin?
It is not. Their big thing is that it holds more pouches.
Okay.
And then you unscrew the bottom, and then you can put your used ones in it. And they come in 5 different colors.
That sounds disgusting. And from a thing that's already gross as shit, that sounds way worse.
It's so, so much worse. So I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to spend $9 on this. Get the fuck out of here. Go zen yourself or whatever.
Go zen yourself.
Yeah. Ugh. My weekend was good. So I went to 2 Reds games last week. I went to the Tuesday 3-2-1. I ate not one, not two, but 7 hot dogs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, dude, I was in it.
How much are the dogs? Is it the $3, two? What?
Two.
Ooh, baby. You got to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and you know what's great? So when they tell you, like, so this is a pro tip for all y'all, all right? If you go to the Porkopolis stands and get them, there's a 2 limit. But if you go to the self-serve on that third baseline, that new area, they just have a barcode sitting there. And you scan.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting 3 to 4 hot dogs the second time I went up.
Sticking it to the man by buying as much as possible beyond what they allow at capacity.
Dude, they had just like people constantly feeding the like heaters going down. So it was just a wiener ramp.
Oh, I love it. And you're just at the bottom like, hum, hum, like a Homer Simpson in a Treehouse of Horrors. Hum, hum.
Yeah, I was treating it like real life burger time. It's like, oh, da-da-da-da. But it was great because I just loaded up. And now it makes it easier to do the 9-9-9 challenge. 9 beers, 9 hot dogs, 9 innings.
Mm.
Which I don't want to do it on a Tuesday because then I'd have to call off on a Wednesday.
The 9 innings makes it sound like you're actually playing in the game. You could do 9 innings in right field, buddy.
Yeah, here you go. I would actually be doing more than some people do in right field.
Probably.
Yeah. Because I'm moving up. I'm getting up, getting the dogs, going back, and I'm constantly moving my mouth. I'm munching.
True. You're working off all that excess calories there.
Yeah. It's. Oh, Ellie!
Get the freak out, dude!
That's what I'm talking about. Guy is on fire.
I think we should send him back down. I don't think he's going to be able to play with these boys.
Yeah, we should put him on the bench, you know, let him figure
there
it
you
out,
go.
You know, make him think about what he's doing out there instead of just straight up smoking it. Good God, dude. He just hung that thing. Bing!
Love it.
Left center field, pummeled.
That is when he's looking so good. He's batting from the right side of the plate, and he's hitting balls out to left center.
Well, he's on the left side of the plate.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're good. I got you, pal. Because what he did on Sunday, which I was a fan of in the 8th when he was up, he was on the right side of the plate when he was batting lefty all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tried to lay down a bunt. Didn't work out great. It wasn't a good bunt, but he got it down, and he made it close at first. But I'm like, if you know you're not going to be able to make the damage that you think you can from that side of the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Against lefty, tink, go for it. And it gets gotten better and better. But pretty freaking rad. That's how you start.
I dig it, man. I agree with that. I think it's a good equalizer thing for him when he's batting righty. He's going against a lefty up there.
Yeah.
Hey, if you think you can, why not lay it down?
Get it going. Oh, God. That was pretty cool. But yeah, I ate I'm an athlete because I eat a lot of hot dogs.
Very true.
And then Wednesday, went to the game, and there were some people sitting in front of us wearing a hot dog costume.
Hmm.
So what did I do? Make all the puns at them.
I was going to say, you probably befriended them.
I did befriend them pretty quickly.
And until then, you ate them.
Well, actually, 2 innings later, until I was wearing the hot dog costume. Yeah. So now I have to buy a hot dog costume. It was so fun.
Oh my God. So you had this like the best time. You're like, this can't be a one time thing.
No, I'm going to get a hot dog costume. I got to get ketchup, mustard, and relish too. We got to go for a 3-2-1 Tuesday and just down the aisle. Hot dog, ketchup, mustard, relish.
Dude, I'd love that. I can see it, man. If you just run down an aisle in a hot dog like costume and then take a couple dogs, just. And you run out of there. Everyone's like, what the heck? But that was the greatest thing ever.
This was amazing. That's how you make SportsCenter.
Mm-hmm.
As an athlete. As an athlete. That's how you do it. Spencer Sears put together a good AB here. But Thursday Chameleon. Friday went to Murray's Tiny Cove and did a little Cheviot bar crawl.
Cheviot bar crawl, huh?
Chevois. It was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday the book with the in-laws. It was a dinner train that went through Cincinnati very slow.
Where was it was going all throughout Cincinnati? Sorry, it's just I haven't really heard of a dinner train before.
Oh yeah, it's like old train cars that have been restored to like their former glory. You place your order before, you dress up. You
sit. Is this like a Renaissance fair situation where everyone is of the time?
There is some people who were. Alicia got in a character. Alicia's mom got in a character. I thrifted a suit to try and get into character.
Mm-hmm.
Did a pretty good job for $17. Pretty proud. And then Alicia's stepdad just showed up. he did not get in character. He tried. He wore a shirt with buttons. I'll give it to him. Nice. So, but like there were some people who were dressed in the character, and then there were some people who were dressed up, but there was like no, the rules were no jeans.
Okay, I like that.
No hats. I'm fucked.
Yeah, what are you gonna do, man?
Go to the thrift store.
Yeah. Because I'm imagining if they didn't have somebody out there with a stopwatch looking down going, all aboard. It's a complete waste of time.
Whole big waste of time.
If they didn't do that, they were doing something entirely wrong.
They had a bunch of conductors. They had a couple going up and down the train. This guy going on the mic and giving us like a very monotone, very, to like look out over here. It's like, we're on Erie Avenue, and over here you can see where the old train station was, okay? And I'm like, is that Mr. fucking Mackey?
Yeah.
Hold on. You just go, okay.
Hold on. End,
okay. And I'm like, oh my God. I was trying to just bite my lip and not laugh.
But, did they have any good train facts or anything like that? Were they just kind of throwing stuff out at you?
Oh, he had some train jokes, buddy.
Mm.
I forget what the first one was, but everyone booed. It was awesome.
It was a train wreck.
It was, hey, come on. And he followed up by saying, sorry, I have a one-track mind.
Nah.
And the boos got louder.
People start rioting.
Punching out the windows.
Flipping drink carts.
Oh, we almost ran that out. Flipping train cars, all that shit. Oh my God, throwing kids out the window. God, it would've been great. Just chucking prime rib at each other.
Taking like the ticket, like clampering, like clamping ears.
Welcome to 1949 Claire's.
You have typhoid fever now.
It was cool. And then what did I do? Then Sunday... forget what I did Sunday. I'm having a brain fart. Oh, that's not true. I went and met Alicia and her choir for brunch.
Hmm.
Went to Asian Food Fest.
Nice.
Did not bow once. Very proud. And then
get out of here.
Went home and watched the Reds game. So
nice.
It was a very good, productive weekend.
Yeah, I had a fun one, too. It was nice. And the weather's been pretty good here, too. So it's been feeling very fun and enjoyable.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. Asian Food Fest, 81, 82 degrees.
Mm.
Blacktop. And then you're looking and you're like, do I really want crab rangoons right now?
It was, yeah, you cook out there. Where exactly was it? Was it Newport?
Court Street.
Okay.
So downtown, hot, not a lot of air moving around between those buildings.
Yeah.
It was still awesome. I still love the event. Like, it's still awesome. And I just wish that maybe they would move to like Washington Park.
Mm-hmm. That'd be dope.
More space, more open air.
Some grass you can walk around on.
Yeah, not just blacktop and the sun beating, and then you're like, do I really want egg rolls right now?
Yeah.
I'm sweating. I did get some good boba tea, so.
Oh, there you go. Like, I love a good Geta Fest, like, depending on where it's at. Oh. Like, if you can be right by the river, get some nice, like, dirty air from the river wafting away, not bad.
Not bad. Hey, do you want some Geta sliders to go with this river stink?
Yeah. Well, let me get some dirty river stink wafting up my nose. Well, I eat that pig asshole.
My favorite's when they do Newport Seafood Fest, and it's like the first weekend of August or second.
Oh, dude.
Just brutally humid, hot.
I can't do that.
All that fish right next to the dirty chili river.
I can't. Like, there's some of the festivals, like the Taste of Cincinnati. I can, not to speak ill of anyone, but I can't stand the way that festival functions because it's during the hottest. I can't remember when it is. So it's hot. Summer. But it's way too hot to be eating food. It's extremely packed. And most of the businesses are just like big conglomerates that are just like, this isn't the Taste of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yeah. B-dubs. What are you talking about? Who wants to eat wings right now?
Yeah. Why is there three Chili's?
Yeah. Oh, a brewery that goes by the name Budweiser. Great, they have such prominence here.
It's truly the Taste of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That
bummer.
Smoked. For second pitch, Jerkson Profar, who's been on a heater, just turned on it.
Yeah.
Damn. That was a pretty swing, though. You can't be too mad.
Yeah, I'm eventually going to have to either... I'm not going to angle the TV. I'm going to put up a few mirrors so I can kind of get a better angle. Because before I had the wall mount.
that you could twist out, and then I kept pulling it off the wall.
Well, you have a true, you could just build a mirror contraption like a Rube Goldberg, dude.
I'd love to do that.
You just hit the beer bat right there, you clink, and then just a bunch of ramps and marbles go, and eventually it turns and mirrors drop, and we waste 100 hours developing it.
Yeah. I will do that before I put up any more holes in that drywall. I tell you, that's staying.
Well, the thing is, you just need to get a TV that's a couple more inches to cover the drywall holes.
You just, I know. Fucking up, I can you see them right there. Like, he says, no, that's a very, well, I'm going to feed in the wires.
That's it.
Just the 3 inches outside of where the perimeter of the TV is.
Yeah, I'm really going to grow into being an adult and hide my wires. No, never. I just ball them up and put them wherever you can't see them.
Yeah, oh my God. If you guys could see down here, it is a debacle.
Yeah, well, good thing they can't because I'm not wearing any pants.
Yeah, dude.
That's the secret of this podcast. Why we're so close? Docking whole time.
Straight up docking.
Straight up docking. Just.
Oh, it smells like a whole Farkle Fest over here.
Might sound like someone left a summer sausage out.
Yeah, we can get into it.
Talk about a transition. The Twins have been doing a real fun new home run celebration. Whenever somebody hits a dinger, they get tossed a summer sausage.
Mm-hmm.
Just a, and it's not like a little one that you would get in a Harry and David's box for from like a distant relative that kind of forgot about Christmas. No, it's a honker that you get at Costco.
Yeah, it's a hog, buddy.
It's a hog and a hog and a hog. It's like a hog ducking.
Yeah, there's a it's tucked in other hogs. Yeah, it's got some thickness.
Yeah, it's got a symphony of oinks.
Yeah.
So Ryan Jeffers, the catcher, has just been carrying it around in his bag and then just chucking it, still in the plastic, waiting for that explosion. But when it does explode and it does open, someone has to start eating it.
I don't know, man. I know you say that the summer sausage, it doesn't need to be refrigerated. But
no, it's salty.
I know, but after seeing like that package, it looks like there could be some funk growing in there. I can't tell if there's condensation, but I'm a little skeptical if there isn't some free radicals growing in that summer sausage package.
Oh, grow up. It's penicillin. Eat the summer sausage.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I can't wait for that thing to just slip out of that thick condo that's going around it.
Yeah.
It's great. So you wouldn't eat it. Like, say you hit a dinger, you're rounding home, Jeffers or somebody tosses you the summer hog.
If I'm a rookie, I would do that for sure. Okay. Just because that's like, oh my God, he ate it. Can you believe this guy? Like, you'd just be so ingratiated. That'd be tight. And when you first was first hearing about this, I was like, yeah, I'd probably eat it. It sounds like this is a summer sausage. Doesn't matter. And I got to look. I was like, I don't know about that summer sausage. It's seen some better summers.
Luckily, it's only its first summer.
Mm-hmm,
right? First trip around the sun.
Yeah.
I'd eat it, but I'm gross. You heard me refer to a wiener ramp, so I totally doubt it.
Mm.
I think, you know, and it's a salted meat that was invented out of necessity to stay in a pioneer's pouch.
Mm, true.
So to pull it out and eat it during the summer because it can survive all the climates, you know, get your dirty machete that you use to kill a few raccoons, slice it off the top, eat it, give a little to your dog, and mix it in with your beans you got over the campfire. I'm eating some of that summer sausage.
That's, you know, when you phrase it like that. How can I not eat that?
I'm fairly certain this is the hardest anyone's ever sold a summer sausage.
Yeah, I know.
Got a really good feeling about it.
Eat it with your polio knife and you.
Well, at the time of recording this, the Twins are on a 7-game heater. Carlos Santana just hit another homer. It's like his third one of the week. I mean, like, it's working. Whatever that good juju is coming from that climate ready salted meat, The Twins are riding it, dude.
I'm for it. I think it's really fun. It's an organic celebration that they had, and it seems to be at least riding the good times with them, so keep it up.
I don't think that summer sausage is organic.
No, definitely not.
No, it's not even free range, dude. I just spilled all over myself.
That's all good, baby.
I got so excited. Yeah, no, that thing is in a hog factory in the smallest of cages that the hog grows out of. Then they're just like pointing like, you're going to make a good salted one. Get the grocery bag.
That has to be the salt that I was seeing. Because when I saw it, I thought like, I guess the salt texture that's around there. I was interpreting that as like a mold or a fungus.
Sure.
But if you're telling me that's just a bunch of salt. Hey, Is that another?
On the warning track. Close.
Okay.
Real close. All right. Got out of the inning with only one. Yeah, I can see that, but it's just the meat perspiring. It's just losing a little bit of the salt that's in there.
Yeah, I think that too. When you see it, like, it start to like shrink, like it's getting like pruny, like hands and fingers. It looks less and less appetizing. But hey, man, it's good to throw around a clubhouse.
It's true, and maybe it busts open. They still have it in the bag, and it's not really meat. It's not really decaying or anything because it's just chunky sodium. You could have a pitcher rub it down. That's your new spider tack. Hog tack.
Instead of going out there with their bags or out there with the resin, just throwing down summer sausages. Salt and sodium spraying out.
Just firing it around. You're like, is that rosin? No, I think that's Hillshire Farms.
Everyone's finger says high cholesterol.
The ump's doing the test. They're just like, is that pork? It's like, fuck yeah, it is. Yeah. Or does it say anything in the rules about I can't pork up my fingers?
Where in the rules does it say he can't have hot dog fingers?
It's just nowhere.
The man with hot dog fingers can't play baseball.
Yeah, I got the cons clam going on. Oh, that's funny. That's great. Ooh, I'm crying a little bit. Oh, buddy. Oh, that's so good. I was weeping tears of joy looking at the Tampa Bay Rays City Connect. Transitions.
Here we go.
Fucking professionals.
That's two for two.
We're killing it today. I got 1,000 OPS. Come on. So, anyway, the Tampa Bay Rays City Connects, I think we disagree a little bit. I think they're fire through and through. I love all the artwork. I love all of the little details in the design work that they did, especially with the texture on the jersey where it's been sun bleached. I think that's super fun. I love that they have the tape grip from a skateboard underneath the hat on the bill. Very cool. The Ray with the bridge from St. Pete. Awesome. The Pelican, referring to the St. Pete Pelicans, the old Negro League team. Awesome. And a Devil Ray on a skateboard. I don't think I need to say any more. But you want to get, you break it down. I agree with you, what you said, but I want you to break it down for these fine folks.
I do like it. I'm going to get a little bit of the nuance here. If you guys can see, we'll probably put some of the Tampa Bay slanted logo, the text with the fire coming up there. I think it's so close to being great. It's just the issue I have with it is, and this is a very nuanced thing, they're using strokes around it. So a lot of those lines, it's just reading like a bunch of lines. So you're losing a bit of the readability of it. And especially with it going on a black jersey, when you're stepping back, it really gets lost. It looks good. I think it's a nice mock-up for something that's really close. But if you just have that Tampa Bay text and that bright blue, that kind of tealish blue fading up into that crisp green, oh my goodness, on that black, that will look insane. You'll see that from, the nosebleeds.
Yeah, the matte on it. So what you're basically trying to say is that the Tampa Bay with the flames would look better on the side of a PT Cruiser.
I mean... I'm not saying that, all right? It would make anything look better. I think it's a great logo. It's just there's a few things that subtly I think could make a big difference. And I know the designers here, we're doing a tremendous job, and I'm sure they got like 1,000 people in their ears telling them all these little tweaks they got to do. The connected community thing, what they did with the bridge, the M, the manta ray there, awesome. I think it looks super cool, brilliant. The Pelican logo is on point. There's, and I know they're trying to do this neon thing of outlining stuff. I get that, but it does create a lot of negative space. So, but as like small little hits, pretty cool.
Yeah.
The manta ray of the skateboard, it sounds like fun, but it does really look like someone took like a clip art. So I hate saying clip art, but it does look like they just kind of just placed it right into the manta ray. It just looks like two different things that don't exist as one.
Yeah, I'll give you that, but it's hard to like give a stingray legs. You know what I mean? To be like, put some legs on it and be like, yeah, look, it's
a hard skating ask.
It's a hard ask, but overall, it's one of the coolest logos we've gotten this year.
It is cool.
And last year, throw that in there.
And I think the idea of them having like a different texture for the uniform, I'm really excited to see like that actually in motion, see it, because just on the screen here, it looks pretty cool.
It looks so cool. The hat's great. And then I love all the secondary logos too that aren't just in that description, like the DJ, I think it's DJ Kitty Cat.
I really like that one.
On the skateboard? Come on, that's got to be a shirt.
Boom.
That's incredible. You got to lean into that. If they don't have a giveaway, or if that's not on a shirt in the next 2 months, what are we doing, Nike? That is incredible. I do love that they lean into the skate culture. They're going to have a skate park set up.
That was some. That was another thing too. Like, I didn't realize there was a skate culture in Tampa, and it completely like threw me for a loop a little bit, or a half piper. I don't know. But I didn't realize that about a skate culture. And I was like watching the video they put out. This was the other thing too, is they start putting out like, we're this, you know, city, and they start playing a Tribe Called Quest, which is from New York, and it's just like, what are you guys doing?
Well, to
it's a great song.
It's a great song,
and it's a tribe. They could be from a lot of places. I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, also, I'm glad they leaned into skate culture, because what else are you going to say about Tampa Bay? It's like, this is where old people go to die and crocodile. Like, there's no...
That's true.
You can't lean into it. And then you're like, what is the sound of Tampa Bay? A golf cart whizzing by. Like,
the sound of a shuffleboard court.
A fentanyl torch. Like, you can't, like, just... So, as long as they're leaning into something that is cool, and it was easy for them to market, which is skateboarding. And, I mean, Nike with having, you know, the Dunks and all their skateboarding shoes. Easy win for Nike. Easy win for baseball. And easy to connect with a younger audience in Tampa. And connecting with a younger audience is what baseball's needed. And the other stuff is incredible. The ladies' crop top is very good.
Mm-hmm.
The only issue I have with this uniform is, again, we have black pants. Give me purple. Give me lime green. Give me those neon pants to make everything else really pop off.
I think the black pants do look good. I do like their poppy colors. The green, that really nice green there, and yep, their Starburst logo. I think it looks really good. They did do a gradient piping.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
I think just seeing it all here, too.
The blue socks are fire.
That looks pretty fire. Yeah, this is good. But just imagine if that was filled in. If that Tampa Bay was filled in.
Yeah.
It's good. It's definitely one of the better ones.
Yeah, one of my favorite things that came from this was they posted the picture of Arozarena. And Kutch commented underneath. He was like, first, no cap, for a second, I thought that was me.
Dude, he does. I mean, for a second there, I was like, what the fuck is Kutch? No.
Nah, it's him.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, all the side art and all that stuff. There's one that's, I don't think hits. And we'll put him right here. Why you got to do that to a manatee?
Oh, man. He looks like if someone came to me and was like, okay, we're going to have you make a baseball logo that incorporates a manatee. Like, yes, got it. This is rad. And then they come back with it. It looks like a zoo sticker, you know, which is cool. Like, if it's just like for a kid or whatever. But like, man, you got to lean in hard with this manatee. It just looks, again, this is the same complaint I had with the manta ray that they had with the skateboard. Is it looks like someone just took a PNG file of a bat and placed into another PNG file.
Yeah.
It's a good illustration. It's good, but for a baseball thing, this definitely reads more youth oriented. And if that could have been like the thing.
But it doesn't even look youth oriented because of the sadness in his eyes. He looks like someone took his kids.
Yeah.
He's just like, well, the court said I can't have them anymore.
He should be wearing sweatpants. That's what this manatee looks like.
Oh, boy. Oh, my God.
Did we just miss it?
No fucking way. Did Jammer Candelario just hit a 2-run home run? You're kidding me. If so, boy howdy, kind of fucks everything I have here. But it doesn't look like it. It looks like there's an issue here. Back, forth, back. Oh, he called him for a balk. And Jammer got to third, so then they called him home. Very cool. Very, very cool. I like winning, but I really like winning on stipulations. It goes winning on stipulations 1, off-season speculation 2.
Love it.
Love speculating. But no, dude, you can't include that. The guy, the manatee here, looks like he just finished a 9-day bender.
Yeah, he's just waking up from something awful. He missed a lot of responsibilities. That's what those eyes say. It's like, I'll get him next time. But no, I won't.
Oh, did I need to clock in?
Oh, I crap my pants again. He looks like the personification of a shark.
He looks like he's about to take that bat and just twist it and put it right here.
And he's got a TV tattoo as well. It's going a few different places. It's funny, but man, that was another thing they could have hit out of the park if they wanted to.
Yeah, they fucked him real good. Somebody tweeted a really good one about him. They tweeted about, who was it? At Brian Fletcher said, "I vote to name this guy Everglade Boggs." And I was like, that's pretty good. But overall, man, I mean, like, kudos. This is great. It's much better than the Mets. There's actually a lot of thought put into it and effort placed. And the big thing with these City Connects too, like, New York, they're just assuming it's going to sell. It's the Mets. No. Tampa, they really had to put some work into it because they're like, you look into the stands, there's like 9 people there.
Mm.
But one thing that people don't take into account is their TV numbers are dope. People watch the Rays on TV. It's just getting to that dome and being in that dome sucks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's like a friend of the pod, Tyler Snipes, has said. He's like, he's got family down there. Like, you don't understand how hard it is to get there. You have to cross like 2 bodies of water to get there, and it's on like a sliver of St. Pete. It's not in Tampa.
Oh, that's so unfortunate. And you guys got to do so much extra work just to try to get people out there. So kudos again to the people that did do this whole marketing campaign and came up with these designs, because they combined a whole lot of stuff, and it really does look good. I nitpick.
Yeah, that's what we do. We nitpick and we get after it. And sometimes when we nitpick and we bring things up, a lot of other people will nitpick and bring things up, including, I don't know, everyone about the new uniforms, including all the players. And guess what? They're going back in the beginning of 2025. We did it. We took down Nike. We took down Fanatics. We did it.
Sit and spin.
Let's sit and spin. Welcome to the fart dunge.
Yeah.
I'm so fucking proud. Jeff Passan put out an article with a memo leaking saying, hey, MLBPA is like, we're done. MLB is like, we're done. The modifications will include a return to larger lettering. Fantastic. On the back of the jerseys, fixing the mismatching gray tops and gray pants. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
You're using two different types of material and they don't match. Of course you're going to fix that.
That was my favorite part.
I liked how they look so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. And they're done with the Vapor Premier uniform. It was to quote Jeff Passan, the union informed players of the coming changes in a letter that placed the blame on Nike and the debut of its Vapor Premium uniform, which was advertised for its superior performance but remains disliked by players. This has been entirely a Nike issue, the memo to players read. At its core, what has happened here is that Nike was innovating something that didn't need to be innovated.
Vapor Premiers. Vaporized.
Vaporized. I love how they just threw Nike under the bus.
I do like that too. I don't think it's entirely Nike's fault, because you got 3 different entities here of people at the very top of these corporations for the most part. I don't think that the other two were unaware that Nike was putting forward garbage. Mm-mm. I think they're like, you know, this guy's like, it doesn't look that good, but look at these numbers. They look great, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I think it was. And they just, you know, let Nike, you know, be the entity under the bus. But I think all 3 are responsible, at least to some degree. Nike maybe put out the product, or it was like their brainchild for the most part. But the other two, Fanatics and the MLB, they also were aware before these came out that they were going to look and perform poorly.
Yeah, of course. They all had to agree upon it. I think it was Evan Drellich tweeted this after the letter, where it said that the MLBPA got paid $33 million by Fanatics last year because of, you know, licensing with t-shirts and jerseys and with the player likenesses and stuff. So the players' union is going to come out and call out Fanatics as well if they're also, you know, don't bite the hand that feeds kind of situation.
Yeah.
But I do think Fanatics did have their hand in it. I totally agree with you on that. Also, the way that Michael Rubens went out about it and said, it's not our fault at all. We just did as we're told. Like, that's kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm Nike, I'm pulling them in as well. I've been like, hey, you saw there was a problem here too. We could have, you know, probably pushed back and did something different. And who knows? But overall, I think everybody's damned and everybody's wrong. And it does. And especially with Fanatics, I mean, How long does it take to get? I mean, just follow at Fanatic Sucks. Just that's it, and just scroll, and you'll be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're still not absolved of all your sins, but I will give them a little bit of credit by saying, like, yeah, it's not all 100% them, but blame spread out. But the good news is we're getting large names on the back again.
Yes,
we're getting the OG material. They're getting stitched. People are going to finally get what they pay for.
Mm-hmm. And all these people that were complaining at the very top, they're still going to be rich at the end of the day, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and they just won't look as sweaty. I mean, did you see Graham Ashcraft on Saturday?
Yeah, he gets drenched early.
Early. I mean, Lance Lynn, I'm like, good Lord, he's just wearing a tissue out there.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, like, do you think, like, some of those guys bring extra jerseys to change into?
Oh,
like,
have to.
Yeah.
You got to. I mean, you got to switch through a few, especially if you're a hefty boy. Like, what, we're 34 minutes and 58 seconds in-ish. I need to change my shirt.
Yeah, I'm getting sweat on the back of my legs right now. I'm wearing shorts. I'm not really doing anything.
Well, that's not true. You are doing something. You're farting in the fart gun.
That's true. I am percolating behind me.
And it tails up, too. I'll tell you.
I got some backspin on that fart.
Yeah, dude, your spin rate on your farts are elite. You're in the red, but it's not just on the chart, it's your blood.
I'm in the brown.
Let's be real. I'm in the brown. Let's dig into these red legs. Oh, I just pushed the whole thing a little bit.
No, oh, that's good.
Let's get into these red legs. Let's zoom out and look from the start of the season till today on April 29th. Obviously before the Padres game. So we're going to look at it chunk by chunk, like we do with a regular recap of the week, but by each department, if you will.
Okay.
Let's look at the starting pitching for the month. We'll start with Hunter Green, the guy who got the extension, the guy who's going to be around for a while. Let's give credit where credit is due. The last two starts, Hunter Green has gone 7 innings.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
His last start, pretty freaking solid. Listen to this line. 7 innings pitched, no earned runs, hit. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Hit.
I hit.
One walk, 6 Ks, 98 pitches.
Awesome.
Sensual.
Real good. And he wasn't, I don't think he had a pitch like above 100. Did he? Or hit a gun? Like, it didn't seem like he was burning it as much as what he normally would, and wasn't really hunting strikes. He was getting people out earlier on and getting into the seventh inning, which is amazing.
Yeah, his average velocity was 97.6 miles per hour on his fastball. He threw 71 fastballs, 26 sliders, one splitter, which means he was not feeling his slider. He felt like he could blow past this lineup. And his splitter, he just went, no, thank you. I'm pitching a contact. And this is a team that they're not going to see again. This was his game plan. I went, okay, I think I can fool him with just gas.
Yeah, man. Keep that pitch up on the, like, up top. Try to hit it out.
Yeah. And what I really like is that bunching in the top right quadrant. I mean, he is really living up there and then throwing the slider down and away. Like, coming up and inside, down and away. Coming up and inside, down and away. And changing the eye line. Of course, we want to see more of the splitter. We want to see more different pitches. But
this controlling combination is very effective.
Exactly. Can he pull this off every time? We don't know. We don't think so. The results have been mixed. But when you get this, this is the guy we need.
Very promising. Take us as far. Like, this is amazing. This is exactly what we need out of an ace.
Yeah, right. This is ace material where you can count on him. Seven. Okay, you're going to give my bullpen mostly an off day.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give up one hit. Fucking shit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he keeps creating. And what's really promising, too, 21.7% of his pitches, hard contact. Which means 21% of his pitches were over 95 miles per hour, so they're not touching it.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos, because that was also a big problem with that, with his fastball and slider.
Yeah, being able to control that. I know we've preached, and we kind of touched on it a little bit here, about him having an additional third pitch, but he had so much confidence out on the
out on the mound the past few starts, and the combination that he's doing with his fastball slider. I really like that he's challenging people with that fastball. I'm going to keep throwing it till you hit it, you know? And then that makes the other pitches more effective when you're able to, like, get them guessing a bit more, catch them off guard. So this is an amazing last couple starts, and we'll see how much more incrementally over the season he starts to build on it.
Yeah, I mean, if he can go out again and pitch 7 innings, especially against an Orioles lineup that's going to be pretty gross this weekend, I'll take that every time.
Absolutely.
And we should too, and start to understand that he's living up to the potential.
Yeah, if you can get us into seven, if you can get us into the seventh with the bullpen that we have right now, and with the way the Reds are scoring, like, I'm not sure what they're averaging, like 8 runs a win or something like that.
Yeah, they score over 3 runs, they win.
Yeah, they're scoring in large chunks, it seems like. So with the makeup of this team, if you can get us into the seventh, you stand a pretty good chance. I mean, one, you probably did well as far as keeping runners off base, commanding pitches to get into the seventh, but the Reds do stand a chance to win at any point in the ballgame.
Exactly, and that's something you're going to see when we dig in deeper, too, is your 1, 2, 3, and 4. You're going to kind of see some decent runs here where no one's giving up more than 3 runs. Occasionally, there's a 5 spot,
mm-hmm.
but if you have 4 starters that can keep you and give you 5 1/3, 3 runs, you are fucking in it.
Mm-hmm. And with the, what you're saying about the might have an inning where they give up 4 or 5 runs or something like that, speaking of, well, Abbott had a couple games we've seen so far where, like, oh my goodness, it just seems like, oh, are they going to rout them? What's going on here? They're getting a hand. They had a big inning. He'll give up 4, and all of a sudden, he just locks it in, and all of a sudden, he'll get you to the seventh.
Yeah.
That is so huge to see that sort of, I don't know, like attack, that chemical makeup that, you know, we've been talking about this team has, of just being super aggressive and just not worrying.
Yeah, and just being like, we're young, we're going to make mistakes, we're also going to figure it out. And great transition to Andrew Abbott. I mean, his last start was a little shaky. He gave up 4 runs in the first, but then he pitched 5 1/3 innings and gave up no more runs.
Mm-hmm.
He gave up 4 in this to start and then powered through.
That is arguably more challenging than having a great game all the way into the seventh. Having a really rough first inning, giving up a fair amount of hits, and I can't remember what the pitch total was at that point, in the 20s or something.
Yeah.
And then still being able to come back out and get your team through into the sixth inning.
Absolutely, and get it going. I mean, and that's what you need from the Bulldog here. And I didn't mention this. I forgot to anyway. Hunter Green, 3.83 ERA with a 10.9 Ks per nine with a 3.12 walks per nine. Here's what's really cool. 0.52 homers per nine. That's freaking awesome. He's only given up 2 home runs this year.
Yeah, man. Really stoked to see how he just keeps building upon all these starts here and see what little things he starts learning and incorporating. And just, this dude's about ready to be like in his prime. I'm so stoked for him.
He's getting there. And this is the big step where you're like, all right, now build on top of that, because it's the little things that we talked about, especially length. So, and him not hunting strikeouts and him hunting just length. Oh, that's what we want, baby. Graham Ashcraft's kind of been all over the place, up and down throughout the season. But to start, Graham Ashcraft is rocking a 4.40 ERA. Okay. We understand that he gets off to a rocky start. He did this last year.
Mm-hmm.
Also coming back from that toe injury, understandable. But you look at some of these starts. You dig in a little bit, especially in the month of April. So, first start, 2 earned runs. Second start, 5 earned runs. Third start, 1 earned run. Fourth start, 5 earned runs. Fifth start, 1 earned run. 6 1/3 against Texas. 3 strikeouts, 1 earned run. Gave up a homer, 7 hits. But he gave you length.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of the thing that you're going to see with him. He'll give you length. He might give up 1 or 2, but like, that puts you again in a position to win it. And that is all you can ask for, and that's all that we want from this rotation. We're not looking for guys to go out and rack up 14 Ks.
Don't need to.
We're not looking for Blake Snell. Or what was Blake Snell last season?
Flyouts, groundouts get you the same amount of outs.
Yeah, they get you the same amount of outs. And guess what? With all of these arm injuries, we're going to start seeing the game kind of shifting to this anyway.
Dude, for sure. Like, just the way the theory of pitching is going to progress over the next, like, handful of years, especially with the amount of Tommy John and just all the sorts of arm injuries we're seeing with pitchers. It's going to be interesting to see how things play out with how managers handle bullpens and starters.
Yeah. I'm going to call myself out in 2021 when I interviewed Eric Loggenhagen. I fucking called it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was nice. Like, I think we're going to shift to this because you're going to see a lot of this stuff. He's like, actually, that's a really interesting question. I do believe that you could be right about that. Mm. So I tell dick jokes for money.
But the man knows his numbers and he can predict pitching trends.
And I know how to dock behind a bar.
Oh, another thing about Graham Ashcraft, we're kind of talking about it with Abbott, just that, you know, they each kind of have that dog in them. If they have a bad inning, you don't think they're going to take that out to the next inning. And that's something that I think is a calming sort of mentality to have in the ball club, that you just know you're never out of it. And again, too, with the bullpen, you can have a bad inning and you can still make it work. You got a good offense behind you, as well as a great bullpen out there, too. So yeah. That's something else.
That's got to be nice to come back and you're like, you run in from the field and you look out on the mound and you see your guy walking in and you're walking in with him and being like, he's always just giving us a chance.
Mm-hmm.
It's never one of their faults or anything where you're like, oh, God damn it, him again. Fuck. All right, I guess we got to play catch up. It's like, no, I'm keeping you guys in this. I just, you know, come on, let's pick it up, boys. Let's go, let's go. And that's going to be so fun to watch down the playoff stretch, the playoff run.
Mm-hmm. Bunch of dogs.
Dogs.
Every one of them. Dogs.
The key is Graham Ashcraft. If his cutter's working, he's on it. He can get you. He'll give you those sexy K numbers. Mm-hmm. If it's not on, he better be pitching to contact and not trying to force it.
Yeah, he just has those pitches where even he admits he doesn't know exactly where they're going to end up sometimes, which can be kind of effectively wild to some degree, or exactly. At least not, you know, as precise with your locations. But yeah, being able to tamp that back a little bit to a bit better control would make me feel better.
It'd make me feel a lot better. Yeah. As a fan, I'd feel comfortable because then they'd start winning a little bit more. Please, please, please.
Mm.
And then it comes to the guy who's on the bump right now, Nick Lodolo, who just got out of a jam. Mm-hmm. Right there, dude. But again, a guy who faced one double A team and then one 4A team. Oh, wow. Did he get him again? Did he hit Waldron again with another? It was just a replay from earlier.
Hmm.
When you look at it, he played a 4A ball club in the Los Angeles Angels, where it's just a double A team and Mike Trout. So then you throw in another A and you kind of. Got to balance that out. And the White Sox, which, what a great way to start. Oh, there we go, Willie B. Hustling it out, dude. William. It seems like every time he touches the baseball, it's a double.
Dude, yeah, he never thinks I'm stopping it first. If that ball gets in the outfield, he's at least thinking two.
Oh, easily. He's got the speed to do it. And he's another guy we'll talk about, which I feel like this one game just fucks up all my notes.
It's all right. That's what we need. Screw your notes.
Screw my notes. Screw the script. Throw it out. But Lodolo, I mean, when he faced the Angels, he had 80 pitches, 6 1/3, 7 hits, 6 Ks. The White Sox, 5 2/3, 1 hit, 1 walk. 10 Ks, pretty cool. Then he faced a real lineup in the Phillies last week.
Mm-hmm.
5 innings pitched, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. Not so pretty.
And he didn't have good command. So that was a bit of a struggle for him. One, to work against, you know, a really great team, but two, you could tell that he was feeling off.
It wasn't just his command either. Like, where he was feeling a touch off, like, he just left, you are right, but he just left something a little bit up, and mm-hmm. The Phillies took advantage of it. Those are professional hitters. There was a reason they were in the NLCS last year,
yeah.
And they were in the World Series the year before. Those guys know how to hit, and good thing we took care of them early
mm-hmm.
and got rid of them in April, and we don't have to see them again until October when they start to heat up again.
True.
But it's too early to say anything about Nick and too early about his month, so I'm just going to say... we'll see how the rest of this start goes and how he looks against the O's. Because that's another real test. Is that Spencer Steer? You bet your ass it is. That's a run.
Thank goodness. What is he trotting for?
Okay. About that. He's got it in.
There we go.
That is a guy we need to have heat up. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Lodolo's control was off a little bit. So you're just hoping he gets it together this start. And so far, he's, you know, he's locked it in what he's needed to.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie Muntis. What a bummer, man.
Yeah, dude. Awful, awful bummer. Hopefully, you know, when he comes back, he'll be fine and just needed the rest. And maybe that'll percolate. I don't know. It sucks, but he'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back. And, like, yeah, he's currently trying to decompress a grapefruit out of his arm.
Yeah, that was a gnarly bruise he had there.
But supposedly he wasn't feeling it in Seattle when I saw him. I mean, dear Lord, two innings pitched, three hits, five earned runs.
And I think he was sick, too. Didn't he have that mysterious illness?
Yeah, there's that bug that was going around that everybody got. Like, Rake got it, India got it, he got it. Nick Martinez came out and cleaned up the mess. But then even before that, Milwaukee, five innings pitched, six hits, three earned runs. You take that from your three or your four every time. And against a Milwaukee team that started off hitting hot.
Yeah.
So you hope that he figures it back out. You hope that this time off and that his arm decompresses and it does and he's getting all that juice out of it.
Yeah, they need to juice that thing, man.
Yeah. You just see DJ with just one of those little, like, decors.
Yeah, those old orange things.
Just going around on it. We're getting this out of here. We're gonna DC you, juice you about, boy.
There's a little bit of pulp in there, but that's all right.
Pulp, some pulp. Is that gonna drop? It's not gonna drop. So, but you just want him to look like he did against, you know, the against the Nats and the Phillies. You want that.
Yeah, he's a veteran. I expect he will be able to figure it out. It's just unfortunate with that injury, too, because I'm sure, you know, trying to throw 90-plus with, you know, a big tennis ball in your forearm is going to be a bit difficult.
Yeah, hopefully he just took the weekend off and went and saw Challengers. It's a new tennis movie.
Ah, I was like, I didn't get the reference.
Zendaya, then she's coaching two boys.
Oh, I saw the previews for that. Yeah, looks very sexy.
It does.
I'm not going to see it, but it looks sexy.
You don't want to go see that in IMAX?
All right, let's go see the IMAX.
Eiffel Tower.
We got to come dressed in tennis gear.
I'll wear the shortest of shorts.
Every once in a while, we got to throw like a tennis ball out and have someone run across and go grab it in the aisle.
I just have so many sweatbands. I'm pushing my hair up and the sweatbands keep going up.
I dig it.
That'd be great. I don't want to harp too much on Nick Martinez. I mean, he's doing what we need him to do, which is fill in spots, spot starts, be the five, the six guy, and then also give extended time out of the pen. I'm not going to go up here. I'm not going to say to this microphone that he is underwhelming or overwhelming. What I am going to say is he is pretty similar to what I thought he would be. A couple more earned runs less. Like, I was kind of hoping for kind of that Muntis line of five innings pitched, four or five hits, two or three earned runs. Some of them have gotten away from him, but other times they haven't. So it's what I expected it to be, and I'm not going to be overly critical on him.
No, he's doing his job. He's kind of reminds you of like that Ben Lively position that would eat up innings when you need him to, could be the fifth starter, and is more of a veteran presence. You know, he puts his work in.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, Lively just throwing junk at you. And going out of the coming out of the pen and going in, like, just being a vet and being with these young guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's what you brought him here for. So I'm not gonna dig too hard on him. Again, we haven't heard anything about Brandon Williamson. So I mean, that's another guy that you're looking at to be a sixth starter. And Rhett Lauder last week had a real nice start.
Yeah,
six
he did.
Innings pitched, and he had like 17 million Ks and gave up one hit. Like, he's coming.
Yeah, dude. Oh, it's exciting. We still forget about like all these other players that are just down in like the minors, just getting ready, just stewing.
Yeah, Connor Phillips, he's coming. Like, you know, you feel good. You feel good. You feel good because this is what we wanted from our rotation to begin with, is to keep us in games, give the offense a chance. They didn't need to be the cornerstone of this team. They just needed to be above passable, and that's what they've been.
Absolutely.
So, and to continue to develop. Continue to develop, don't get hurt, don't get drilled in the arm, and have a giant passion fruit just hanging out.
Yeah, man, stay healthy. I'm excited. These guys are going to have a fun year, and it's going to be a statement year for them, you know?
I feel it. I feel it. Your bullpen, buddy, did you know they rank 12th in all of baseball in ERA? Did you know that?
Did not know that.
That's pretty much what we want, dude. Mm-hmm. You need them to be top third in the league. I didn't look in the National League. I didn't do that much. I was already tired of looking at numbers and my eyes hurt.
Mm.
But this is what we needed them to be. Again, serviceable, keeping them in games, not going, oh man, bullpen again, not that being the true Achilles heel of this team.
Yeah, having people that are reliable, and I think David Price is figuring out...
David Price?
Oh, God, I fucking did it.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, but they're figuring out, like, Fernando Cruz is becoming, like, a player you can rely on coming in the 7th or the 8th, you know?
Yeah.
We're having guys that are a bit more... reliable.
That's how you know it's late, is you're just pulling up David Price, Mariners pitching coach.
Yeah, Aaron Boone. Was
Actually, I'm trying to remember where he is. I think he might be in Seattle. No, David Price. Am I also stupid?
Mm-mm.
Brian Price.
Oh my God, yeah.
We are both on it today, dude.
It's a late one.
We're really doing it. Baseball, Brian Price. He is in San Francisco.
Okay. Nice.
Now we have San Francisco pitching coach. Anyway.
But it's easier for David Bell to have people that he can rely on.
That guy!
Yeah, that's the,
that's the one we're looking for!
But at least I know when I see some of those guys come out of the bullpen, I feel a lot of confidence.
I agree with you 100%. I don't feel like where it's like, you know, those doors swing open, you're like, what are we getting today? It's like, yeah, we pretty much know what we're going to get today.
Mm.
They might give up one earned run. They might give up two, but that's extremely rare.
Mm.
From one, two, three of these dudes we're about to use, because your starting pitcher is giving you some length, or four pitchers. But I can't say it enough, and we've said it all season, how great Brent Suter's been on and off the field with everybody, but especially it doesn't show in his numbers because he's had a couple appearances where it's a really inflated, but coming in and being a stopper. I mean, that. It's so valuable.
Yeah,
he's been the dude that we wanted him to be.
Yeah, he's had some nice outings in a couple that are making the numbers not look that great. But yeah, he's definitely a dude that goes out there like, okay, he's going to know how to challenge these hitters and get some outs.
Yeah, and he also can give you 2 to 3 innings every 2 days. I mean, he's a guy that's like, all right, you're going to go out there and pitch 3 today because we need you to spot in the middle here. All right, can you give us 2 innings in 2 days? Okay, great. I can do that. Like, and be another veteran leader in back in there with those young dudes, especially like the young guys like Fernando Cruz and Alexis Diaz, you know? Mm-hmm.
God, you'd love to see some of these guys teach those dudes some extra pitches.
Yeah, you know? You'd like to see Fernando Cruz teach Hunter Green that splitter.
Which I think,
it's so gross.
Has anyone hit that yet? I don't think anyone has hit a splitter yet.
I don't. I'm not 100% sure. I don't have those numbers in front of me. What I do have in front of me is that he has a 1.74 ERA.
I'll take that.
He's only given up 2 earned runs in 10 and a third innings so far this year. And he also has 17.42 Ks per 9, baby.
Dear Lord.
Getting them just like what TJ Antone said the other night. He's like, they know it's coming. They still can't hit it.
Yeah, he did a good job calling that game.
They scored 6 runs when he was in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
Put TJ in the booth all the time.
Get him in there.
Easy transition.
They just need to build a microphone into his arm.
He's got the brace and it's just the stand coming out.
It's a mic stand.
So he kind of looks like a proper butler just commentating.
And he still has a cough button put in there.
Cough button, swear button. Morphine button.
Tom Brenneman button.
Oh, deep for the deep drive in the left center field button. Oh boy, howdy. Justin Wilson's been solid, 10.8 Ks per 9. He had a couple, you know, he's given up 3 earned runs in the 6 2/3 innings he's pitched.
Mm-hmm.
3 earned. I mean, you're looking at it. It's not dog. And 3 of 2 of those earned runs came against the Brewers, and 1 game against Seattle. I mean, Sam Moll, he's back. He's a guy we like a lot. When you look through and you pick through and you look at these game logs, you're like, man, good. Just good. This was a strength last year that only got better, and we're still missing dudes.
Yeah, we've improved on it, and it still has yet to like have peak productivity where we're going to be at. So
yeah, the only one I'm a little worried about is Lucas Sims. He's either got it or he doesn't, and he's wild.
Yeah, it's, my stomach gets a little uneasy sometimes with him because you just don't know. Like when a pitch like floats out of the zone, you're like, oh, I don't know. Is he going to like have it or not?
Yeah, and his spin rate, his fastball spin rate's dipped a little bit. So, but, you know, he's only given up one run in his last five appearances.
Dope.
And if we're like, that's us being overly critical and being like, he's not hitting his spots, but he's getting the job done.
Yeah, and it's so easy too, like for relief pitchers, if you don't really remember them, that's probably good. The times that they stick out is when something wrong goes on. So it's super easy to pick on a bullpen. But, I mean, all these dudes are studs. I'm so stoked that they're wearing a Reds uniform because, I mean, they're just getting it done.
Yeah, they are. They truly are. Okay, we're looking here. I'm trying to find just a quick little live update for us. Mm-hmm. You know, Lodolo, three innings pitched, one hit, one earned run, two walks. Guy's already got 6 Ks through three.
Making it happen.
He's freaking dealing. Our guy. Now, this is where we start to kind of see where it comes off the rails and why they're only two games up. 5-0 for 5. Oh, God. Hey, shit!
Oh, my goodness. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
You breaking even there?
Woo-hoo! I'm two up, baby.
There we go.
Oh, I just gained brain cells on that one. The room isn't spinning at all. The lineup, this is where it kind of gets a little disappointing. Again, this is not including what's going on right now. I understand Will Benson just hit a double and scored. Jamer got on and scored. I understand that. But we'll start with Ellie De La Cruz, who just freaking homered again.
Mm-hmm.
We bitched for a week, and then it was just poof, off to the races.
Yeah, man. And just watching him too, like when he was going through a little bit of a rough patch initially, and even like last year, it's just, it didn't seem like any of those bats were wasted. It's like he was just gathering information, just being like, okay, all right. And all of a sudden, it pop, 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 pop. It's starting to like, it's so much more easy for him at this point. Yeah. Like he's starting to get in a rhythm. He's starting to feel it. He knows he belongs.
Yeah. And you're going to have to make a mistake against him. That's the whole thing. He's with the patience and gathering that information. It's like, you have to pitch to me. I am the superstar here. I'm the one who's on pace for 100 stolen bases. You either pitch around me and I get on and I screw you, or you leave one a little up in the zone and I smoke it over 400 feet. Pick your poison.
Love it, dude. And just seeing the way that pitchers are approaching him, even fielders too, just that we've talked about, they rush their game. They start doing things they normally wouldn't do. That's the brain of chaos ball that Ellie brings.
It's beautiful. He's the fastest player ever to 20 homers, 50 stolen bases, and 90 runs. 122 games.
We should send him back down.
Yeah, you know, we should probably sit him. You know, you know.
Don't wear him out.
You know, maybe he needs to learn a thing or two in AAA.
God, I can't wait to retweet this thing that Barstool Sports like tweeted a year ago. Just wait.
Dude, he leads all of baseball in steals. Duh. Third in the NL in homers, 7th in OPS, and 11th in on-base percentage. 11th in on-base percentage is what gets me Randall.
Dude, that was such a huge thing. It's just like, just looking at that, I'm just trying to process it. I'm like, yes! It is so good. It is so huge for his game.
He's waiting. He's patient.
Going deep in accounts and saw he hit a ball. Oppo Taco is first time up. When he is seeing the ball and hitting the other field, love it. And getting on base, dude, just get on base. It doesn't matter. A walk is going to be a double, going to be a triple.
No, it's going to be, and then it's going to be, oh, he scored. Great. Basically, this offense has ran through Ellie De La Cruz. If I told you that to start the season, you're like, Ellie has stepped up. You're like, oh my God, the Reds have only lost 7 games. You're going to be like, well. There's some other issues. After Spencer Steer got off to a really hot start, again, I know he doubled tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. But not including this game, since April 15th, 149, 255, 149 with a WRC plus of 21. That is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with no home runs, no doubles, no triples, just 7 singles. with a 12.7 walk rate, which is okay. Okay, you're above 10%. We're doing it. 21.8 K rate. Okay, you're not striking out a whole lot. You're below league average. But BABIP, 194. So he's hitting it, and they're just, that's where they're at.
Yeah, he hasn't been putting together bad at bats. He's still been hitting the ball pretty hard. He's had some really nice plays made on him, and as well, he's been going deep into his at bats. It's just tough luck for a lot of it, and it's just going to start falling like it has so far tonight. But yeah, and of course, he's not going to keep up that hitting over 400 and just having a wild OPS. But yeah, it's just a lot of it was unfortunate. And also, too, Spencer Steer doesn't have a lot of moving parts to his swing. So any adjustments are very minimal.
Yeah, it's just, man, he's just getting a little fucked. He's just missing a little bit. And I'm just also looking here. He's in the 85th percentile on hard hit percentage, which so far this season is 50%. Again, this is just 1 month, so these sample sizes are small, but it's pretty cool to see a lot of red. What's interesting, though, is his barrel percent is 7.7%, which puts him in the 54th percentile average. Average exit velocity is 90.3 miles per hour, which puts him in the 70th percentile. So he's excelling there. So again, when we looked at those metrics for Tyler Stevenson going in, where he's squaring it up and hitting it, this is just him hitting that wall.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're right, dude, long counts. You love to see that. He is a veteran hitter, but you just want to see the results to help actually put some runs on the board.
Yeah, he's not someone that I'm going to be concerned about. I think all these balls are going to start dropping here, as well as there's going to be a natural bit of like stress that comes with it. He knows that he's going through a bit of a slump here.
Sure.
But once he starts getting these hits, you can see it. We saw it with Jonathan India. It just seems like you just feel it in their shoulders. Just relax a little bit more. And he's going to start squaring balls up a bit better. He's like, oh, okay, I got that off my back. So now let's keep driving in the gap. Oh, that one went out. Okay. And he's going to be back, you know, on a very similar pace that he was, you know, a few weeks ago.
I'm just going to make that little adjustment. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make that little adjustment, or off to the races. And like, I like what you said about India too. It's like, he's going to make that adjustment. He already did in Texas and hit that dinger, and his knee's feeling better. You know, his foot's feeling better. He's all feeling better all around.
He's not sick. It's great.
He's not sick. That is exactly what we're talking about here. He's not sick. So, you know, the numbers don't say a whole lot, but again, he was sick, but 235, 353, 318 slug, 92 weighted runs created plus. But again, I agree with you. We will see him turn that corner. Rake Fraley, when he has played, he was sick too for a hot minute.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 60 plate appearances. 315, 383, 444. What is really cool is he's got a 400 BABIP for the year.
Mm.
He's put the ball to play and it's landing. He's getting on. He's scored 14 runs. Like, his availability is limited because he can't hit against lefties, but when he has been available, he's been solid.
Yeah, dude, I love seeing him in the lineup. Love to see him get some more plate appearances here. But yeah, a little bit hindered with him not being able to really hit lefties.
Yeah, really are. And that was kind of one of my things looking into this, you know, when we were talking about in the offseason, just a big bopper. Somebody who could hit dingers. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Oh, this makes me so mad. Anyway, oh, it's going to be okay. Stuart Fairchild. All I'm going to say is that TJ Friel is coming back. Now I'm going to... I mean, 193, 270, 211. That is making your lineup shorter, putting him out there every day.
Yeah, he was hot for
three games.
Yes. And he had some great plays in the outfield, but I don't think anyone's really expecting Stuart Fairchild to replace TJ Friel. So I can't wait for just to see TJ back, and nothing against Stuart. But yeah, these aren't the numbers that you want to see.
In a month and a half, find someone who needs a center fielder, trade him for nothing, and bring up Herdebees. Bring up Blake Dunn.
Herdebees.
Bring up some of these dudes.
Can't wait to do that.
The herd of bees hive?
Yes. Like, we gotta have like a bee costume.
But now Blake Dunn's been playing well. He plays center field. He's hitting the ball down to AAA.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you know what Stuart Fairchild is.
Yeah, you know where Stuart's ceiling is.
Yeah, and it's not very high because he's a tiny man.
Very tiny man.
Very tiny. He's, again, you know what he is. He's 28. This is what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that me talking this much shit gets a couple more runs and hits out of him.
I think so. He's going to jack one tonight. But yeah, I'm stoked for TJ to get back here because he just has, you know, that identity that really plays well with his team. Just being a hard-nosed dude, getting out there, being tough, small balling it.
He's your leadoff guy, and he gets on. God damn. Ah, and his defense, too. Ah, come on. Be healthy and come back. That way I don't have to watch Stuart Fairchild center anymore. Please.
Oh, man, I cannot wait to see the amount of, like, dudes that we're so used to seeing with this team. I mean, granted, still, they've only been with the club for less than 2 years. But TJ Friel, Matt McClank, when you're in there, it's just we're just going to get so much better.
God,
it's so much better.
Dude, especially when TJ gets back. When TJ gets back in this long stretch, oh, we'll get to it in a minute. Okay. CES, one home run in the month of April. One. One.
That's one more than what Billy and I have. It's not good.
He has four more total bases on one hit than both of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's not great. Here's where it gets interesting. And this came up when he got drilled, right? David Bell said that they did x-rays on his hand and he didn't sustain a fracture from the hit by pitch. David Bell, however, said the imaging revealed evidence of a previous hand fracture that may be contributing to CES's soreness. So what he's doing is he was hiding that he had a broken hand and he couldn't hit the ball.
That is not cool.
No, not cool at all. You know who probably could have been up to hit the ball and let him heal? Mike Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Better yet, Joseph Daniel Votto.
True.
God. That's just infuriating. It's like, dude, we want the all a lot of this is hinging on his bat and him figuring it out and hitting 30 homers. Be healthy, be honest.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff riding on their health. There was some positive scene. I'm trying to remember the game where he hit a line drive both on the first baseline and the third baseline. There was an in-out swing that he had that looked so good. And when you can cover, you know, everything in between the white lines, that's a very dangerous hitter. Yeah. However, if he's not, what we've been talking about, not able to really elevate the ball because maybe, you know, he's got a broken hand or something. That's a bit of a problem. He's still strong as an ox, even with a broken hand.
Big boy.
But that's something that you hate seeing because that might be doing more damage to the team than good.
Yeah, 100%. And it, again, shortens your lineup. But, dude, I hope to God that they figured out and it's like, oh, yeah, maybe it's just a little bit more rest and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't do the thing in Casino where they put his hand down and then he's break it with a hammer and then they're like, all right, we'll fix it back again in 6 months.
Mm.
Just tape all of his bones together or whatever. And I don't know, but you can't bank on it. And I don't know. It's just disappointing that he was most likely hiding an injury.
Mm-hmm. It's something I don't even want to think about just because there's all this different stuff that's going on. It's just like my brain is just so anxious with this, all these injuries you're trying to like weigh out.
Yeah, and try to field a team that's like good and can compete and then going into this hell stretch. Boy. Will Benson, I mean, he hit a double tonight. He's going to turn it on. Look, 91 weighted runs created plus for the start of the season is close to him being, you know, average. And again, we know he's off to a slow start. And when he has been hitting the ball, it's a double.
Yeah, and the home run they had last night, was it? That it looks so pretty. Like, it seemed like such an effortless swing that he just rocketed it into right field. It was just a no-doubter. Looked just as easy as waking up on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Just smooth.
Smooth.
So maybe he's turning the corner. May is here, and that's when he starts to heat up, because if the small history that we have of him playing for the Cincinnati Reds is, May is the start of him smoking the ball.
Yeah. A lot of opportunity for some of these guys that weren't expecting to get a lot of playing time, and I think William Benson is going to be a dude I really would love to see him have a really great year, and if he can start it now, would be terrific.
It'd be great, because 200, 283, 421 isn't great. What is interesting, 10.4 on the walk rate, 39.6 on the K rate. A little high for him. A little high in general. You don't want to see that. So hopefully his patience comes back a little bit more. And that's when he's starting to heat up and he's really seeing it. And I think we're going to see him turn the corner this month, especially after the night he's having tonight in San Diego. I think this could be the start of Willie B season.
I agree. These guys all, William, too, has really good eyes. And I think with them being so young, I think a lot of these umps aren't giving them the benefit of the doubt sometimes. Yeah. So I think it gets squeezed just a little bit. But I think that K rate's going to go down.
I do, too. And we covered India. Espinal, we got him for his glove and to fit into this lineup and be here when people get healthy and all this stuff. Tyler Stevenson, we covered it last week. The guy is barreling up and he's hitting the ball. He got his hand drilled. Hopefully he's going to be okay. He's just getting unlucky. Tyler Stevens' season almost is about to start as well.
Yes,
but dude, just hope to God his hand. He gets over it. He moves on. I miss Marte. I just wanted to say it.
I do too. Last year, he was looking so good. He was having such sweet, sweet swings, and he was really turning on balls. Just looked like such an athlete out there. So smooth.
Yeah. Guy's just got such a pretty natural swing.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to Spencer Steer, just flowing through the zone.
Mm-hmm.
The elephant in the lineup, Jammer Candelario. Oh boy. In 95 plate appearances, 159, 263, 317 slugging with a weighted run graded plus of 61. That is bad. Two home runs in those 95 plate appearances, 8 RBIs, no stolen bases. Yikes.
Yeah, obviously this is not the result you want to see from a guy that just signed a big contract for a few years with the Reds. I will say that traditionally he's had a slow start, but to this degree, I don't feel that comfortable with it. And I know there's no one that wants to see him turn this around more than him. It's just, it is, like we said, it's the elephant in the room, and these numbers are just such a sucky spot in the lineup, no matter where you put them.
It's real rough. He's got a 4.1 barrel percentage. He's got a 32.7% hard hit rate. He's got a 30.6% sweet spot, 31.3% chase rate. All of those are bad, putting him around in the 23rd to 27th percentile in all of baseball at the moment. What that's saying is, yikes. And there's one promising thing. He's at 10.5% walk rate. That puts him in the 71st percentile. So that's one thing you look at. But everything else, the barrels, the sweet spot, the chase, the whiffs, he's not seeing the ball. He's not making any good contact with it. And he's missing it. And he's chasing it. So it's not seeing shit. So what can we accredit this to? Is it a new team? New team? New city? Injury? I don't know.
I'm sure there's that added pressure. You know, when a guy signs a big contract, a lot of times they do feel that pressure. I mean, I imagine. So I think there has to be some of that psychologically weighing on him. New town, new team, big contract, big expectations. That is going to make you probably feel maybe a little uncomfortable, or just knowing the type of player that you are isn't matching up to, you know, where you're playing at.
Sure.
So I don't think these will be the numbers that we're going to see at the end of the year, but it needs to really start changing here quickly. So he just needs to have a really great BP session, have a great series or something to get him out of this funk, and hopefully this will be a thing of the past, numbers.
Yeah, let's hope May 1 is the turn of a new leaf. I am in agreement with our friends over at, and this one belongs to the Reds. Great guys, great folks, great pod. Shout them out. Go listen to them too. I'm in agreement. When he gets up to the dish on Friday night, standing O. Give it to him.
I like that.
Give him the encouragement. Show him that we're backing him. And that way, we're also, you know, hey, bud, we'll tap on the keister. Go get him. Go get him, Tiger. Bring it in for the boys.
I dig that. That's a really fun idea. They did it before with... Did they do it to Ellie? Who did we do it to?
We did it to...
There was another player I feel like we had a story before. But I love that idea. It's fun. Show them that we can... It's a ball game. We're here to have fun. We know you can play. go out there and play. And hey, guess what? You got a bunch of fans behind you. We're here to have fun. You do the same.
Yeah, you be that guy. Go and be 2021 Jammer Candelario. 271, 351, 443 with an OPS of 795 with an OPS plus of 121. Now here's the kicker, 42 doubles that season. That'd be cool. I know it's a big ask. That's 3 years ago. But that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that still exists in him.
He's got a track record. I mean, last season in 99 games for the Nats before he got hurt, 258, 342, 481, OPS plus of 126 with 30 doubles, 16 homers, 53 ribs. We know this guy can do it.
Yeah, and you'd love to see some of those doubles in GABP because some of those would be home runs.
Yeah, they would.
Mm-hmm.
God, we just need him to be a first third baseman 2021 Nick Castellanos. That'd be really cool. That'd be really cool. Yeah. But here's the thing. We'll all join together, standing O, get it rolling. Is that Willie B again?
Is this helmet on?
Yeah, that's Willie B again with another double.
Yeah.
It's time.
It is.
It's Willie B season. We're calling it live right now, man.
Yeah, we
it's
are.
Willie B season. He's like, man, I'm getting an early start on May.
I'm just going to hit doubles all the time. Why not?
Here we go. Here's the deal. I got one more month to give it to Jammer. I got one more month. That's it, buddy.
Fair enough. That's how we do it.
Then it's time to throw around Moose 2.0. We can start digging in on that. Maybe 2 months. Okay, I'll give him 2 months before I say Moose 2.0.
Yeah.
How about this? I'll give him 1 month to be like, I know I'm extremely concerned. Maybe it's time to go on the IL. 2 months, I'll be like, Moose 2.0.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point, but you'd be well within your rights to do so.
It's my rights as American. It's free fucking speech.
Woo!
Hell yeah.
Allie, do something.
Do something. Overall, for the month of April, we're two games up. Dude, we're two games up. We don't have McClain. We don't have TJ Friel. There's a couple games in there where you wish you got him back.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, that's going to be the season. 15-13. I mean, okay.
We just played the World Series champs, and we very easily could have taken 2 out of 3.
Easily.
Yeah. We played the Phils. We got 2 out of 4. Split.
Split. 2 out of 4 at home, and then took 2 out of 3 at their spot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some definite highlights. I mean, getting swept by the Mariners blue, especially when I was there. You know, you fly 2,000 plus miles to see your team get shellacked. That sucks. But like 15-13, I'm happy. I'm happy. They're above 500 and they're in it.
All things considered, I am very happy. And I know that there's still a lot more room for growth. And there's a lot of these players that are about ready to kick it into gear. So I'm really stoked for the next month.
Long season.
Mm-hmm.
Long season. TJ Friel update. This is the big one. Guess what? The club's plans to send TJ Friel to AAA Louisville to start a rehab assignment on the May 2nd game in St. Paul.
Love it.
Very cool. Bell said that Friel was to be limited to bunting and not full swings in his first extended spring training game after hitting off a high-speed pitching machine the day before. Something is being added in every day, David Bell said. Bell projected Friel would need 1 to 2 weeks before being ready to return to the Reds. So if you look at that, May 2nd,
mm-hmm.
1 week would put them at May 9th. 2 weeks would put them at May 16th. May 9th. We're at home. It'd be the last game against the Diamondbacks.
Mm-hmm.
May 16th. We're out in L.A.
Yeah.
Both suck. Good time to face the Snakes, though. We'll get into that in a minute. But, dude, if he's back May 9th, this lineup, oh my God, so much longer.
Yeah, it transforms the lineup. He just has that downward momentum you want the team to have immediately from the jump.
Yep. And guess what? If he's limited to bunting, that's fine. He was only the best at it in the league last year.
Yeah, he did pretty good.
He was pretty good. So let's look at this lineup coming up. Again, 3 spot in San Diego. Right now the Reds are leading 4-1 in the top of the 5th. Pretty rad. Hopefully they can pull it off. And then you got 3 at home against Baltimore. Day off Monday. We record. And then 3 at home against the Snakes. And then the West Coast road trip from hell.
Yeah.
Three against the Giants, three against the Snakes, four against the Dodgers. Day off, come home, and then it's Padres, Dodgers, Cardinals, and then we're going off to Chicago.
Yeah, buddy.
So, your matchup's Lodolo, Waldron right now, Nick Martinez versus this guy. I don't know if you've heard of him, TBD.
TBD. Oh, he's doing it, man.
Dude, elite spin rate. Ashcraft versus Musgrove, and then the O's would be most likely Green, Abbott, Lodolo. I hope they take two out of three in San Diego. But this is the right time to play the Snakes, I'll tell you that. Carroll's been slumping. Zach Gallen might miss a start, and Merrill Kelly's out as well. So, it's about when you play him.
Yeah.
This is it.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they can take advantage of that. Let's round third and head for home. Plug her up.
Let's do check out Motor Mouth. That'll be our, I'll be on Motor Mouth that Thursday, whatever the hell that is, like the 24th, but I think the 26th of May, Future Science. Come out to that. It's going to be the 10-year reunion. It's like a sketch show, live stuff. It's going to be so much fun. I'm excited to get together with the boys again and make this happen.
Future Science is great. It's the best. I can't wait. But there's something that you have to do the night before.
Mm-hmm.
May 25th, I will be recording my next album and then some type of video special as well. I think the kids just call them specials. Did he just smoke that? Oh, warning track. God damn it. Spencer, you're making me edge.
Edging my boy.
Edging my man over here. May 25th, Commonwealth Sanctuary, 7 o'clock. Come see me record my next album and my next special in general. Come do that. It's going to be so fun. It's going to be great. Got a great lineup. Chris is on the show. And John Holmes is on the show. I got to see if Ben Johnson's going to come into town. And then I got to book one more person. And Sean Braley's hosting the whole dang thing. That'll be so fun.
Yeah, dude. Come out to that. It's going to be really fun. Billy's going to do a great job. It's such a fun comedy club. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get tickets early.
I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Everyone else is going to be great. But definitely come and check that out. I'm very excited. So let's get our thank yous out of the way. Thank you to Sports Drink for hosting the audio of this podcast. They are a coffee shop in New Orleans. So if you're in New Orleans and you want a cup of coffee, go to Sports Drink. Thank you in the clutch. You can get this shirt on in the clutch. Half of these guys are setting the world on fire. The other half of these guys, we miss you so much. Please come back. Okay? Come back as soon as humanly possible. So use the promo code Nasty Boys, all cap, get 10% off. And thanks for having me in the fart dungeon. I think I'm going to add to the stench in a little bit.
Hey, go for it, buddy.
Oh,
let's add to it. Add another layer of funk on it.
Living in the funk. Come on. Living on my spunk. Bang. So, and thank you for watching and or listening. And as always, go Red Legs.
Go Red Legs.